All right. I may mess some things up tonight, but it's all good. We're going to look at opportunity tonight, but before we get there, I think there's some things that have been on my heart that I really want to say as far as this world goes. Let me say it this way. I'm going to do my best to tie this into the lesson tonight on opportunity. We'll go through that as we're going through the Share My Faith, and we're learning about Bob, and we talked about a burden last week. This week we'll do opportunity. But something that's been on my heart and something that I have seen with my own eyes in this world that I want to address if I can, just for a few moments. And to do that, I'm going to turn over to Luke chapter number 16. We will be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, but for the moment, I'll be in Luke chapter number 16. And I want to start off in verse number 19, Miss Michelle, if you can help me with that. Luke chapter number 16, and I'd like to start off in verse number 19. I may preach on this again, so don't be alarmed or startled. It's just been on my mind all day. I've been thinking about this. Started yesterday. It's been on my mind. I ain't put this together because we were doing on opportunity. But I think it would be a good introduction into it. Now, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 16, who's writing? Who's speaking? Say it louder. Who's speaking? All right. Jesus is speaking. Jesus relates to us a story, a true story. How do we know that? This isn't a parable because Jesus used names. All right. While he did not give the name of the certain rich man, he did give another name, which we're very familiar with. And we will look at this in just a few moments. In verse number 19, the Bible says that there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. To look at this man, you would think that he had everything together. The way the world works and the way you and I have been taught to work, the way our minds work concerning others, is that if they have stuff, then God must be blessing them. Stay with me. Don't shake your head at me because I'm fixing to prove what I'm saying. I'm going to show you how we have taken on this mindset. We have adopted it, and we don't even realize that we do it. We've taken on the mindset by looking at an individual. We can tell they're standing in God. Oh, if they look nice. Come on. I mean, I could stand somebody up here and they could be dressed in complete black and have the black, dark black hair and all the signs that you would think, or man, this guy right here don't know God at all. Come on, don't lie to me. Man, you see somebody on the street and they got something in their ears, they got something in their nose, they got something, over here and over there, whatever, tattoos everywhere. Don't act like I don't know what I'm talking about. You look at them and man, they got a dark side, they're dressed in black and all of this, and you automatically assume those people need Jesus. So why wouldn't it be safe to say when we see somebody who seems to have their whole life together, we make a complete opposite assumption about them? And so when you look at this man, initially you think, man, God must be blessing him. I mean, he's a rich man. He clothed right. He wore the right clothes. I need somebody to help me. He might have even showed up at church on Sunday in a suit and tie. Amen. Because, I mean, he ain't going to go over there. He ain't going to be showing up in no pair of jeans and a t-shirt. I mean, he was in purple and fine linen. And he got to eat all he wanted to. I need somebody to help me right here. He was a guy that comes to the church when everybody else was bringing pimento cheese sandwiches. God help you if you do. And he was bringing steaks for everybody. Y'all with me? I mean, to look at this man, he was all right. And then we read about another man. Verse number 20. And there was a certain beggar. I bet he didn't dress right. I need somebody to help me. I bet he wasn't the kind of guy that you would invite to come up on into the car with you. Let me take you home so you can have you a good warm shower tonight and we'll feed you and you can stay in the spare bedroom. Are y'all with me? I mean, this is Jesus speaking to us and he's giving us polar opposites. He's telling us that there was a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. Now, just the thought of that, I need somebody to help me. Amen. It ain't a pretty picture.
Right.
Verse number 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs, he probably had a sign. He was setting up out there outside the rich man's house with a sign that says, "We'll work for food."
Yeah, that's right.
He may have even had a sign that says, "Anything will help." The Bible says he was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He wasn't asking for an investment. He wasn't asking for a lot. He was just asking that, hey, what you're not capable of eating, I'd take. What you would consider waste, I'd take it and be happy. And be full. And the Bible says, moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. I don't know if this means that Lazarus may have been incapacitated in the sense that he may not have been able to move much to have dogs coming around and licking all over him. But the Bible says in verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. It doesn't tell us about him being carried up, no angels. Everybody with me?
Right.
Bible says and was buried. In verse number 23, Miss Michelle, I want you to look at the beginning of this. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. A man that seemed to have everything together, and a man that seemed to be, had made some bad choices in life, made some bad decisions. God compares the two of them and then tells us that at these men's death, they were polar opposites too. Because while the one that looks to everybody like he'd made all the bad decisions in the world, he was the one that was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. And the one that seemed to have everything together, the Bible just says simply of him that in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment. Now who said that? Who was speaking? I need somebody to hear me right here now. I know there are a lot of people that don't like to hear the word hell in church, but if Jesus spoke of it, then we might ought to bring it up every now and then. If Jesus has given us a story and he's telling us that you cannot base or cannot base somebody's spirituality on how they look, then we might want to listen to that too. We don't want to miss that story either. We like to go on and we like to paint the rich man out to be some horrible dude. But he could have been somebody just like you and I.
Amen.
You know the type. pull up to the red light, guy standing there with a sign says anything that helps, and you look the other way and drive on through. Let's not paint him out to be somebody that's horrible. Why do we have to villainize people in the Bible when we don't agree with them? This could have been a good man. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us that he was this horrible man. Jesus didn't say, man, he was just horrible. The only details Jesus gave us about the man was that he was rich, he dressed properly or fancy, and he ate good. So let's not add to that and make him out to be some evil serial killer to make us feel better about ourselves. Amen. It was a man that had things and a man that didn't. It was a man that had a home, a man who didn't. A man that had a table to eat at, a man who didn't. A man that had clothes to wear and a man that didn't. Everybody with me? We take that and we say, man, I would never look on somebody and judge that they're all right. But we do it all the time. Somebody dies. And we try to see the good in them. Y'all better help me. Somebody needs to help me. God forbid we speak evil of the dead. God forbid that we suggest that somebody that died is in hell. Being in torments. Let's talk about the good thing they did. And so we try to justify in death that, he was a good person. I've had people, I've seen this with my own eyes. They've never done anything to suggest that they were Christians. They've never made a profession of Christ. They've never done anything but been ugly to people. They're drunks and alcoholics. And as soon as they die, they got their angel wings. As soon as they die, they're in a better place. As soon as they die, they're in heaven rejoicing. I've proven to you, you ain't got to like it, you can get mad at me if you want to, but I have proven to you, just by that right there, that this world is messed up. And here's the thing, Christians go right along with it. Because we ain't going to rock the boat. God forbid that we say, you know what? There's nothing about that person's life that even suggests that they even know who Jesus is. And you're trying to comfort yourself with, bless God, I'm not talking about your brother. But there is nothing in the world to even suggest that they have done anything whatsoever when it comes to God. And we're trying to ease everybody's mind. Do you realize that if people die without Christ, they are going to hell? Not my words. Not your words. Not what the preacher or the church down the road says, but... And when we try to make it out like, oh, well, he was a good person. Nobody is a good person. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says there is none that seeketh to do good. So how in the world can we sit there and say, man, he's a good person, they in heaven. I ain't going to argue that there ain't good people in the world because there's a God of good people right here. There's a lot of good people right here. There's a lot of good things that are done amongst people in this place right here. But what I am trying to tell you is you can't just take and say, oh, they did something good and so they're going to heaven. And the mindset is, listen to me, the mindset of all of us is we look at them and we look at how they've done and we look at what they are and we say, oh, they're good. Now listen, I'm getting somewhere. And when we do that, we miss opportunities. You see, when you have that mindset, I got to get us out of that mindset, because when you have that mindset, you miss opportunities. If your mindset is everybody's going to get to heaven as soon as they die, they get their angel wings. Y'all help me. Amen. If that's our take on everything, then God needs to apologize to the rich man.
Amen.
Because he didn't get his angel's wings. His obituary didn't read that he was a good man. He's in heaven now.
Nope.
His obituary didn't read that he's dancing in heaven now. No, God was pretty specific with his. He wanted us to know that when that man died, he went to hell. And if you and I don't get this mindset of the world out of us, look, there ain't nothing wrong with looking for the good in people. I don't want you to run around and say, Jesse, man, you know about Jesse. That's not what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with seeing the good in people, and some of us need to do it more often, myself included. Because my first thing, I need somebody to help me right here. What you up to? And so I got to get out of that mindset too. But listen to me. If you and I walk around with a mindset that everything's going to be all right, everybody's going to be all right, then we miss opportunities. See, if we look at someone and, oh, they go to church over here at this church, they're all right then. I mean, Jesus didn't give us all the details, but he could have left out that he went to the synagogue every Passover. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Say, well, I don't think Jesus would leave some things out. I got news for you. There's a lot of things in that Bible that Jesus ain't revealed to us yet. So why is it so far-fetched to say that this man could have been a very good man that went to church, but his heart wasn't right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Man, it started off good. Y'all okay? 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and then verse number 8. Bible says this, Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, which is located in Macedonia, and he says, I got plans to come see you. He says, I'm going to come see you, and when I do come see you, he says, I'm going to hang out with you for a while. But in verse number 8, he says this, but right now, I'm going to tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Says, I'm going to stick around Ephesus to Pentecost. It doesn't mean that I ain't coming to see you. I just ain't coming to see you now. I want to come see you. When I do come see you, I'm going to spend some time with you. He later tells him he's going to send Titus. But he says this. He says, I'm going to tarry in Ephesus for a while till Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. He says, this is what he's saying. There is a great opportunity and a great chance to be effective right here in Ephesus. A door, unexpected door, has been opened. It's great. It's a great opportunity. It's a great chance. And more than likely, it's going to be very effective in spreading the gospel. That's all Paul cared about, by the way. But then look at it. It says, and there are many adversaries. I wrote in my Bible years ago, with opportunity comes opposition. With opportunity comes opposition. Now listen, hold it, stay with me. We got to get out of the mindset that everybody's okay and everybody's going to heaven, or we're going to miss opportunities. But that mindset is an adversary to opportunity. Y'all hear me? Now, in this situation, we know that many of the adversaries that Paul was talking about was the Jews and was different people that was coming against his ministry. But in mine and your life, opposition can be a mindset. Opportunity comes, but opposition, the mindset of, oh, they don't need it. They're okay. Is everybody with me? I mean, am I saying it right? That when there's opportunities, there's always opposition? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I ain't never had opportunities that something didn't try to keep me from. And so Paul is experiencing the same thing. So as we pray for opportunities, here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at opportunities, and we're going to see opportunities to share our faith. And we're going to start off when, well, Miss Michelle has Bob up there, which we know we're praying for Bob every morning. But these opportunities to share my faith, I'm going to have to start off with prayer for opportunities. Oh, well, preacher, that's what that whole thing was about. Stay with me. I'm specifically asking God for opportunities. I remember, number one, underneath prayer for opportunities is this. I remember that opportunities come from God. Yeah, opportunities come from God. Listen to this. Colossians chapter number 4, verse number 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Who's opening that door? God. So we're to pray for opportunities. And when we pray for opportunities, we're to remember that opportunities come from God. If you and I are going to have an opportunity to witness somebody, it's going to be because God put that person in our path. Now, well, listen, that puts an obligation on us, because if we're going to pray for opportunities and we understand that God gives opportunities, then we also should understand that we're obligated to respond to those opportunities. Y'all stay with me. Is everybody, I can't tell. Y'all kind of looking like y'all got hit in the face or something with a 2x4. Is everybody all right? We have opportunity. Pray for opportunities. There's people all around us. Would you agree or disagree? Jesus gave us an example of two people. One went to heaven. One died and went to hell. That's 50-50. Is everybody all right? I mean, think about how many people you'll come in contact with tomorrow. Think about all the people that you come in contact with today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 12 says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Remember, opportunities are from God. They come from God. Not only that, but relinquish. All right, I'm praying for opportunities. Not only do I need to remember opportunities come from God, but I need to relinquish or submit to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and in the morning, Mark chapter number 1, verse number 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Some of us need to find a place to get along with God. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 4 that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Led, once again, by the Spirit. Is everybody with me? Acts chapter number 8, verse number 29. Miss Michelle don't have that up there. This is something that I've added. But Acts chapter number 8, old Philip, verse number 29, the Bible says, and the Spirit told Philip to go join himself to the chariot. Inside that chariot was an Ethiopian who was coming back, and he was reading scripture and did not understand it. And the place that he read was Isaiah chapter number 53. And the Bible tells us that Philip got up in that chariot with him and he preached to him from the very scripture, Jesus. But if you read that passage of scripture, the angel of the Lord told Philip to go out into the desert, and the Spirit of the Lord told Philip to go join himself with that chariot. I'm going to pray for opportunities. I must remember opportunities come from God, and I must relinquish myself and submit to the Holy Spirit. See, I must request request, ask for a chance to change someone's life. Man, you want to make a difference in the world? You ain't going to do it with a dollar bill. Most people want to make a difference in the world by money. Most people want to make a difference in the world by being able to do something. You and I have the greatest gift that you could possibly have in your possession. And if you would give it to somebody, listen to me, you could change the world. Amen. How many of you has ever sat down and led somebody to the Lord personally? Let me ask you something. Is it life-changing or what?
Amen.
There's nothing like it. Nothing like knowing that God would allow you to show somebody else eternal life and to listen to them as they pray unto God and receive Him as their Savior. There ain't nothing like it. Come on now, let's talk about it. Goosebumps. Oh yeah. Overwhelming. Would that be it? Come on, y'all help me. If you've done it, y'all help me. Goosebumps, overwhelming, a desire to tell everybody. I mean, I want to tell everybody. Hey, I'm so happy that you got saved, I want to tell the whole world. I mean, yeah, call the preacher up. Man, I got, you know what? I save voicemails on my phone. I got some really good ones. I got even Jonathan McNeese, I got on here, a voicemail. Somebody he got to lead to the Lord, and he calls me up and I missed the phone call and I got 45 seconds of him. Man, you ain't gonna believe it. Kaylin Blanchard, I got her on here. She led somebody to the Lord. She just to go, I mean, just, hey, it's so exciting. You've made an impact in somebody's life. How many of you got to lead your youngins to the Lord? Hallelujah. Man, I've got to lead preachers to the Lord. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like it. Request it. Request, ask God, give me a chance to change a life today. Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. That don't mean ask for a brand new car. I need somebody to hear me. I don't mean ask for a brand new job, brand new wife, brand new husband, brand new boyfriend, brand new girlfriend. It doesn't mean brand new job. It doesn't mean all that. If we are in tune with what God, His heart, then we ask and it shall be given to you. Do you think for one second that God wouldn't grant your prayer if you asked for a chance? Your request lines up with His will. God, let me lead somebody to the Lord today. God, let me make a difference in somebody's life today. Request an opportunity. God, give me an opportunity. Be submitted to the Holy Spirit and then ask for a chance to save someone's life. 1 John chapter number 5 in verse number 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. Let me ask you this. Do you think He wants somebody to get saved? Let me go ahead and answer that question for you. Second Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. So, is it God's will that somebody get saved? Absolutely. So if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Verse number 15, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 3, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. What's He talking about? The gospel. Y'all got to be quicker than that. Pray for opportunities. Remember, opportunities come from God. Relinquish, submit to the Holy Spirit, and then request. Ask for a chance to save someone's life. or to change someone's life. Let's look at number two. Look for opportunities. Not only are we to pray for opportunities, and this is something we all need to work on, now we got to look for opportunities. It's easy to pray for opportunities if that's on your mind first thing in the morning. But the problem is, a lot of the times we miss opportunities because we're not looking for them.
Amen.
I need somebody to help me. We miss opportunities because we're not looking for them. And so, not only in our opportunity, our teaching on opportunities, are we going to pray for an opportunity, but we're going to start looking for them. The Bible says this in Acts chapter number 3, verses 1 through 8. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Now, let's take that into our modern day society. They're walking in, a man's holding a sign that says, "Anything will help." A man's holding a sign that says, "We'll work for food." Man's holding a sign that says, "Pray for me," or whatever. Can't walk, homeless, whatever. But Peter and John seen it as an opportunity. "Silver and gold have I none." That's what y'all need to do. Pull up there at exit. I'm telling y'all, get off the exit right there at 16. That guy that's sitting right there, put your window down and say, "Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto you." I need somebody to help me.
Amen.
Now don't go try to get him out of the wheelchair or whatever he's in, all right? I'm just saying, if you're looking for opportunities, they're all around us. I notice about looking for opportunities, they're usually found in daily living. You know what the whole purpose of this is? You know why we're doing this Share My Faith, this whole Share My Faith workshop? You know why that is? To get our mindset away from what church has taught us. You know what church has taught us? We got to meet on Tuesday night or on a Monday night or a Thursday night or on a Saturday, and we got to go out and beat doors and we got to tell everybody to come to church. And what we're trying to do is this. As you go, you tell others about Jesus.
Amen.
So, we look for opportunities. They're usually found in daily living. John and Peter were going to the temple when? At the hour of prayer. As they were going. Are y'all getting it?
Amen.
Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? As they were going. As they were going through their daily routine, as they were going to their work, or as they were going to their recreation, or as they were going to whatever you want to call it, opportunity was there. And they took advantage of it. It's usually disguised, look at this one, this one will hurt you. It's usually disguised as problems. I don't want any more problems. I don't want any more drama. Opportunities are usually disguised as problems. The Bible says that the opportunity that John and Peter took advantage of right here was a man that was lame. Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. Christianity ain't always going to be pretty.
Amen.
It ain't going out there as much as you'd like to save the rich man. You probably going to have to start with the beggar outside the gate. Are y'all okay?
Amen.
Usually disguised as problems. As much as we want to avoid problems, it is the problems that will lead people to Jesus. A rich man, you know, Jesus even spoke about the rich man not needing It was hard for the rich man to get saved. He wasn't saying that a rich man couldn't get saved, but a rich man has everything that he needs and he has no need of the Lord. But a man that's laying there with sores and begging, he needs some. All right, I'll move on. C. It usually requires taking the initiative. Oh. Here's the opportunity that we want. Hey, sir, do you know Jesus? You know Jesus, sir? Because I'm looking for him. Can you help me? Yeah, no, that ain't going to happen. That's what she said. But that's the opportunity we're looking for. God, you show me that one that's out there, and this is what we want. That one person that day is going to come running up to us and say, ma'am or sir, do you know Jesus? Because I want to get saved today. Oh, well, I'm glad you the opportunity. I need somebody to help me. Probably ain't going to happen that way. I mean, I'm not saying that it can't happen that way. I told y'all, I walked up to a house one time, and we were outdoor knocking, and it was a Tuesday night, and me and Kirk Branch was outdoor knocking, and I got out of the car, and the guy comes out of the house, and he says, God sent you here, didn't he? I said, he sure did. Come here, boy. And I got to lead him to the Lord right there. I mean, I've seen it. I ain't saying it doesn't happen, but I got out of the car, and he walked straight up to me and said, God sent you here, didn't he? I said, oh, yes, he did. What he didn't know was we'd struck out three times. We'd gone to three doors, knocked on three doors, and nobody was home. And I was like, hey, my best friend, he might still be living over there. And sure enough, he was. As soon as we pulled up in the driveway, opportunity. He come running out. But it don't happen that way. Don't happen that way. It usually requires you taking the initiative. Peter told him, hey, look on us. Everybody with me? We've got to get more proactive in this. We've got to initiate.
That's right.
Listen to me. I'm about done. Not really, but I will be. We live in a world that don't want to talk about religion.
Right.
We don't want to talk about religion at all until there's a catastrophe.
That's right.
Trade towers fall, pray for our nation.
Yeah, that's right.
School shooting, pray for our schools.
That's right.
But yet, they can't pray in our schools.
Amen. That's right.
You can't stand in a government building and pray in the name of Jesus. You can pray in Allah, you can pray all that other junk, but you can't pray in the name of Jesus in a government building. But if there's a catastrophe, all of a sudden everybody wants to be religious. Stay with me.
That's right.
We've made it wrong to be religious. Every time you see something on TV about somebody that's religious, they're an extremist. They're trying to convince the world that anybody that loves Jesus is an extremist.
Right.
And so it makes it very difficult. We carry with us that mindset that if I say anything about God, or if I say anything about Jesus, then somebody's going to be upset with me. Meanwhile, there's rich men dying and going.
Good.
Look at it this way. Mamas, daddies, say your house caught on fire. Y'all stay with me. And your smoke alarm's going off. Man, you're running through the house. You're trying to get out. It's going up. Alarms are going off. Smoke alarm's going off. All kind of alarms are going off. I got them alarms of mine that talk to you. Hey, get out of here, and whatever. I don't know. They're all hooked up. They stupid junk and lounge make you do. But anyhow, I got all that in my house. Anyhow, house on fire. It's going up. Alarms are going off. Come on, mama. Come on, daddy. Tell me where we going.
I'm going to get my baby.
Why? Time out. They hear the alarm. Stop and listen to me. They hear the alarm. Why should I risk my life to tell one of my babies, don't be stupid, the alarm's going off, get out the house. Come on, why would we do that, Brother Mark? Why would we risk our lives? It's our responsibility. Yes. Them youngins is my responsibility.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I run through the house kicking doors in. I'd be grabbing my children, throwing them out the house. Zoom. I'd go get the one that I love first. A couple of my kids are sitting in here. It just gives them something to think about. Which one? Which one would Daddy go get? Hey, the other one, he's probably watching on. He's probably going, well, I know it ain't me. The problem is we go through life like that, too. Ah, oh, they'll hear the alarm. They'll hear it from somebody else. I mean, everybody hears the alarm, don't they? Everybody sees what's going on, don't they? Everybody knows it's got to be close. Everybody knows that God ain't getting all of this. And so we run by thinking, oh, they hear the alarm, or either somebody else will tell them the alarm. Listen, we got to get the mindset, we got to tell them. It takes initiative. Lastly, and I'm done. I got it done. Create opportunity. Whew. Hey, not only are we to pray for opportunity, look for opportunities, but number three, let's create them. Miss Michelle, you ain't got to put all these verses up there because there's a pile of them, but this is the thought. Mark chapter number 2, 15 and 17, Luke chapter number 19, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says this about Jesus, that he sat with publicans and sinners. He created opportunities. We can't shield ourselves from the world. We can be a part of the world and still be in the world. Somebody help me. We have to create opportunities. How do we create opportunities? I'm asking you. How do we create opportunities? Say again. Okay. So we create opportunities in it. We create opportunities in a restaurant. We create opportunities. Me and Michelle, we was coming back from somewhere and COVID was going on and we stopped at Buckner's there in Atlanta. How many of y'all has ever heard of that? If you ain't, there's a problem with you. All right. Stop there. I promise you. It's the best thing you ever ate. Big family style eating, big lazy Susan and everything else. We walk in there and of course COVID's going on. They all scared. Everybody's scared, wearing masks and everything else. We weren't. We're sitting there and this guy, they asked us, they said, do you mind sharing a table with somebody that ain't your family? I said, not at all. Me and Michelle, no, we don't mind at all. I don't care. Just two of us. Those are some big tables. Anybody can come sit with us. So this older couple came and they sat down with us. It was a husband and a wife. And they came and sat down and we were sitting there and the bread, they bring the bread out. Of course, man, this food's amazing. But anyhow, bring all this stuff out and like, hey, y'all mind if we pray? Everybody all right? As soon as it happens, all of a sudden, man, they were like, I said, man, we were sure hoping that we'd get with somebody that were Christians. So me and Michelle got to sit there and have a meal with them and everything else. But the point I'm getting at is we created opportunities by saying, hey, come sit with us. Oh, everybody all right? Create opportunities. How do we do that? By A, being where they are. Being where they are. I've already preached that point, so we'll go on to B, being the friend that they need. The Bible says this about Jesus in Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 34. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber. Sounds like somebody talking about a politician. And a friend, look at this, a friend, look at it. This is Jesus, a friend of publicans and sinners. Now, before you start condemning Jesus, you need to be real thankful that he was a friend to you. John 4, Jesus met the woman at the well in her need. Luke chapter number 10, the Good Samaritan cared for a man in need. Acts chapter number 8, we done talked about Philip. A man in need, an Ethiopian, said, "I don't. Who's Who is the prophet speaking of, himself or some other man? Philip said, opportunity. Don't get no easier than this. Man, he's talking about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Y'all, we have to. Listen, in the mornings, we're not only praying for Bob, but we're going to take an initiative. We're going to pray for that burden. But we're going to pray for opportunities. We're going to look for opportunities. If need be, we're going to create opportunities. Why? Because everybody that you look at ain't going to heaven. And no matter, just because you can find one good thing to say about them, doesn't mean that they were prepared to meet Jesus. Everybody with me? You and I got to get better. Help me. We got to get better. Heads bowed with me. Dalton's coming to the piano. There was some, a lot said tonight. Got a burden for this generation. I got a burden for our community. Time for us to start taking opportunities, looking for opportunities, creating opportunities, praying for opportunities. Next Wednesday night, Lord willing, we'll be talking about boldness. But tonight, before we go any farther with what's been said tonight, I want you to know this. When you die, you'll either open your eyes in heaven, or as Jesus instructed about the certain rich man, in hell you'll lift up your eyes. So my question to you tonight is this. If you were to die right now, do you know which one of those two places that you would spend eternity in? With nobody looking around and heads bowed, tonight if you say, preacher, I do not know. Listen to me. I'm not 100% sure. If that's you tonight, I want to help you. Why don't you come and let me help you tonight? I'm begging you. So grab your Bible and come down here with me, please. I got mine if you need it. I asked Miss Michelle because she's my wife. She's a big part of the reason that I'm saved. She prayed. Asked God for opportunities. Created opportunities by making me go to church. And because of her today, not only am I saved, but I stand here as the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. For 10 years. Won't you come? My wife can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You can leave out of here knowing. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you. Believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know you have eternal life. You might believe on the name of the Son of God. Tonight, we can show you from God's Word how you can be saved. But it's your decision. This is something you have to take the step in. I was there. I remember September 28, 1997. I can remember the fear, the anxiety, the doubt. And as I sat there, I knew that if I died, I'd go to hell. And that day, I took control of my life, my decision. I got up. I said, God, I'm yours. I took that first step. I realized that everybody around me wasn't going to answer for my life. It was going to be me. And I took that first step, and each step, hey, listen, that first step's the hardest. Because each step after that was easy. Tonight, please, I'm begging you to come. Nobody's looking around. It's just me. I know what you're going through. Will you come tonight? Who'll come? Miss Lauren, grab your Bible. One's come. Would you come tonight, please? I'll meet you halfway if you'll come. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. God, I've watched you move in this service tonight. Watched you work. God, I know that my job is to do nothing more than plant a seed, and I've done that, Lord, the best of my ability. Lord, I pray tonight, God, you'd give the increase. Thankful. Lord, that one has come. Lord, I pray for them tonight to give them clarity and understanding. Lord, I pray tonight they'd make a decision. Change their life. Lord, I know you're doing other work here. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd bind Satan. Bind the strong man, God. Whatever would be opposing this opportunity. God, I pray tonight you would remove it. Lord, I pray tonight you'd give victory. Lord, we love you.